Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Can you believe it? It is episode number 56 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media. As you can probably see, I'm still in Las Vegas. We're in the middle of shooting BattleBots. So that means today, no co-host, but I got a very special guest, Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds. That's right, the 2010 National League MVP, the guy that had a run where he had seven straight games with a homer, the guy that did the Jamie Tartt, point at my name from Ted Lasso sort of stuff. Now, we've known for years that Joey Votto is one of the best interviews in baseball. But in this particular format, and I've interviewed Joey a bunch, he is legendary. He zigs, he zags, he makes me laugh, he makes me cry a little bit, he makes me think more than anything else. I know you're going to love this with Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds. Hello, Joseph Votto. Joseph, what are we going to go with today on the Rose Rotation?
Please call me Your Majesty. Please.
Hello, Your Majesty.
Yes.
So you're out of breath, and that's not because you're so excited today. It's because you've been working. What are we doing? Did we get a little cardio in, extra hitting? What did we do?
I was doing activities in the garage. Is that a Step Brothers reference? I think it is.
It is.
I think so. No, I was just getting done hitting. I'm late, Chris. I'm late.
Yes.
But you were patient, and I know that you had to move on to some bigger, better things, but thanks for waiting for me.
Absolutely not. It's my pleasure. I'm so happy you're joining. I really am. I want to tell you, I'm in Las Vegas right now. So I'm shooting the show BattleBots, which is an extra project I do. It's really
check
fun.
It out.
Yeah. Are you a Vegas guy?
What is a Vegas guy?
Do you like Vegas?
You know, I like a good time. I would do, I'd go anywhere with a group of friends and family for sure. But, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Shout out to Vegas.
Okay. Like, you're not making it sound like you, like me and a bunch of boys went to a bachelor party out in Vegas. Like,
why would I share my debauchery with you and the public? That's mine. So, I'm aware of Vegas's existence. I've played baseball there before. And I've been there for non-baseball reasons. So I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio right now. And this is exactly where I want to be.
When did you play here in Vegas? Was it a minor league game or was it
We played spring training games.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken, against the Dodgers and the Cubs.
Yeah.
And I attended maybe two of them. Completely lucid, totally sharp, 100% ready for the day game. I felt great. So
who's the idiot that is booking a day game in Vegas for major leaguers?
Who is the idiot? Wow. That's a way to start a question. That's a way to ask a question. You're trying to up my friends list. So I think that if I'm not mistaken, one of the teams we played against has an affiliate there.
Oh, right.
And it was our way to, and it was fantastic. It was so much fun. Fans were great. The experience was fun. It was fun playing in front of a new group of fans. And they were very aware of on top of the game. In all seriousness, I had a great time there.
Good. All right. It looks like, and you've been playing this game an awfully long time, just from an outsider's perspective, who knows you just a little bit, that you are having more fun this season than ever before. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I've started to accept that. So for a long stretch of my career, failure wasn't an option. Every at bat, every pitch, every moment of the game, defense, base running, everything was so serious. And so, you know, get this right or you're going to pay for it, you know, after the game, how you talk about it or think about it or before bed or whatever it is, you know, it was just, my failures would always be on my mind. And so there are parts of the game I'm not going to accept failing on. Being a good teammate, treating people with respect. I still lose sleep over those two things big time. Defense, base running, and then being good to the fans. I lose sleep over those big time. But hitting for years was this thing that I took, you know, I took very, very seriously, to the point where every moment, like I mentioned before, every pitch was life or death. Not life or death. Let's not get so dramatic right here, but every pitch meant I was all in. And if I came up short, I'd be really frustrated, reacting, going underneath the dugout, angry. And so in 18, 19, and especially 20, I experienced a little bit of a dip in performance. Less so in 18. I mean, I was an all-star and I led the league in on base percentage. I was played really good defense. I thought I did a really good job that year. But in 19, I took a major dip and I was just so bent out of shape with every moment of the game. I just always expected a certain level, and I was coming up far short. And in 20, Dave Bell benched me for 3 games after a rough game in Milwaukee and a rough stretch. And I just decided kind of to let go of some of the style that I used before that was so have to be perfect. You have to be perfect. And I've noticed a big change, not only in my improved performance, but also my general demeanor. I've enjoyed the game more. I've let go when I fail a little bit more, certainly offensively. And what's crazy is I'm playing really well, you know, and you know, I expect to play well through the end of the year. But it's been a real gift. It's been a real gift to me as someone that wants to play well, wants to finish their career well, wants to win a championship here in Cincinnati, wants to be on the field every day, wants to give back to the fans by, you know, being a part of the lineup, being a part of each day's win. And I feel really lucky that I'm able to play well again, really well.
I love it that you are in such a good place. On the Rose rotation, we talk to so many guys about not only success, but how they deal with failure, because there's no other sport where your failure is on the table more than the successes. So was it somebody you talked to? Was it just something, a realization you came to, or was it something else?
Yeah, you have lots of conversations when you're going poorly, just trying to get an idea, a plan of action. And of course, I spoke to teammates, former teammates, people I played against, and lots of good feedback. Most of the change was technical. You know, I got with a golf instructor in season last year, and he pointed out some things that I couldn't believe. Technically my mechanics are in much, much better place. I'll share with you without sharing his name, cause I haven't asked him whether or not he's okay with me sharing his name. Mm-hmm. So I won't, but he said one thing that I thought I couldn't believe. So last year I was performing poorly, but I was among the best, if not the best, at making contact. And I was among the best, if not the best, at managing my strike zone. I feel like that's a Pulp Fiction moment right there. But he said the best golfers, the golfers that make the most money, top money earners in the sport, are the longest drivers. And the golfers that lose their cards are the most accurate drivers. So the golfers that just keep putting the ball in the fairway over and over and over, typically they lose their card. Wow. And I liken that to hitting. I'm making contact. I'm controlling the strike zone, but I'm not wild up there. I'm not wild up there shooting for balls in the seats, balls in the gap. And as a hitter in today's game, we've got better scouting reports. Shift is real. Outfielders, in my opinion, have gotten better from the days of, you know, okay athletes in the outfields, boppers in the outfield, to now, you know, if there's games from the fifth or sixth inning on that you've got a sharp defensive lineup out there in the outfield. So if you can't hit the ball hard and you can't stretch out the defense, you don't stand a chance in this game. You know, you better hit the ball hard on the ground if you expect to hit. You better hit the ball hard in the outfield if you expect a ball in the gap. And I made the change not long after a day after I was benched, and all of a sudden the ball started coming off my bat harder. Fortunately, I'm able to do that. I was able to start taking more chances. Comes with strikeouts. My walks have dipped. My strike zone is a little bit more, a little less defined. But when I hit the ball hard now, you know, I'm more difficult to defend. And it's more than anything, I look forward to my bats, because something the most fun thing you can do as a hitter is hit a home run. And I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. And now I'm going up there trying to hit the ball as hard as possible. And sometimes the ball goes over the fence.
Went over the fence an awful lot during one particular stretch, which we will get to. I want to spin the clock back to growing up in Canada. Did you love the Blue Jays as a kid growing up? Because that was right in your wheelhouse, 92, 93, when they went back to back.
Yeah, I loved them. Yeah, for sure. You know, when Joe Carter walked off the second World Series, I remember my parents getting in the car and you know, honking their horns and joining the celebration. I remember getting really excited myself. And, you know, now as an adult playing professional baseball, oftentimes like lay in bed and dream about walking off the World Series with a home run like Joe Carter. So yeah, I saw it live. I watched it live. And I know how, you know, that's the one thing. I'll say two things right now. I know the feeling, and I'm sure lots of players know the feeling, but I know the feeling of being in a city and a team winning a championship as a young person, and then seeing the impact in the community, seeing the excitement for days, for weeks, for long stretch of time, and how special it can be. And the second thing I was going to say was, you know, I want to do that here. You know, I've been in a Reds uniform in Cincinnati, you know, owning a house here, part of the community. You know, I cross paths with tons of people that every time it's about let's win, let's keep going, let's win a championship here. And the support has been tremendous. And I want to be a part of the team that gives that back to the community. I'll be disappointed if I retire and I'm not part of a championship club here in Cincinnati specifically. You know, I don't want a ring. For me, I want to be excellent at my craft. Mm-hmm. And if I make a commitment to a team like the Reds, I made a commitment to the Reds. And I want to be a part of a championship in a Reds uniform. I don't think it would feel as special, as meaningful if I did it in a different uniform. So that's where my head's at. And we talk about it on a daily basis. We have post-win meetings and we have pre-series meetings, and the conversation is always about winning a championship here and what it's going to take to do that.
I love that. I love it. It means a lot to the Reds fans out there in the Cincinnati community. Can your highness go to a grocery store in Cincinnati? Can you have dinner? Because like there's two Joes in town. There's a Joey and there's a Joe Burrow. Mm. And you're the biggest stars in that city. So like, what's life like for you when you just chill?
When I just, you know, we've got a busy schedule and we play every day. We play every day. I think this past 3 months, I feel like we've had, and I'm saying this with gratitude, let's play 6 months in a row. I don't want any days off, but we don't have very many days off. Our last off day was a travel day. Great. No problem. But as far as like casually having dinner and moseying around town, that's just not in our schedule. We are 7 p.m. nearly every day of the week. People come home from work, from school, whatever. We want to be a part of their evening. And I'll forego dinners until I'm done playing to be able to give that to baseball fans.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, that is fair enough.
No, it's good because it's, I mean, it's a
fact.
That
is good.
Yeah, it is good.
It is a fact.
Oh, I've missed you. The day you got drafted, was the draft on TV? I don't remember if it was on ESPN2 or what How did you find out?
How did I find out? Well, I mean, yeah, good question, because it's much different now than it was now. You know, if you had an internet connection, you were able to hear it on MLB.com.
Love it.
They had a live broadcast, and the two routes I found out were not a telephone, like a telephone. You know, or on MLB.com, finding out through that, or the following day on a newspaper clip.
So how'd you get it?
How did I get it? I got a telegram actually a week later. Yes.
How'd you get it?
I got a telephone call. Yeah. Yeah. And then that night, not terribly long after that, I signed and got my visa as a Canadian citizen. I got my visa, showed up to the Gulf Coast League 3 weeks later. I was chomping at the bit, and it's been a dream since.
Hey guys, I get it. Sometimes it's tough to talk about ED, but let GetRoman.com help you out. It's very simple. You call them. They're there to discuss all forms of treatment for any form of ED. It's licensed physicians over the phone. You get a consultation. If you need medication, no problem. They'll overnight it to you free of charge. It's very simple. I get it that sometimes it's tough to talk about that sort of stuff. So you want to do it in the privacy of your own home. You have a phone conversation. You don't have to go to any doctor's office. No counters involved. You're not out in public. It's just you and the licensed physician. They're going to find a form of treatment. They're going to take care of you. And then you're going to start taking care of business. So go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy. And if you're prescribed, you get 50% off your first month of ED treatment. It's pretty cool. 50% off your first month. Once again, it's GetRoman.com/JohnBoy. I believe I read an article where the Reds brought you to Cincinnati for a workout. Didn't you hit in front of some very famous people as a high school kid?
Very famous Reds, yeah. So I did a few different pre-draft workouts for a few different teams, but the Reds, without question, stood out. They had both Johnny Bench and Ken Griffey Jr. there. And I think that Ken may have been rehabbing, so he was in town, and he took in some of the batting practice and whatever tryout we were doing, whatever workout we were doing. And then Johnny Bench was there. I was a catcher at the time, and he was showing me some stuff. I mean, it all happened so quickly. I think I've told this story before, but you know, I'm going to tell it again because why not? So I'm in the batter's box hitting batting practice, and Ken Griffey Jr. pops behind me, you know, stands on the cage, and he's watching the guys hit. And I'm hitting, and I look back, and I'm like, whoa, that's Ken Griffey Jr. And he was Ken Griffey Jr. Like, I played with him, and it was still the same way, Ken Griffey Jr. But I'm 18 years old. I'm in awe. I played his video game, wore my hat backwards, played the outfield, watched him play. I mean, Ken was iconic. I don't even know if we have a player now that's as iconic as Ken was for that stretch, though we've got great ones. Trout, Otani, among others. But so I always loved to swing. I'm a left-handed hitter, and he, as a left-handed hitter, had this beautiful stance and swing, real swagger, and he just seemed to do things with ease. So I copied that for years. It didn't work for me, but I copied it. Part of it is left-handed thrower. I'm a right-handed thrower. And he's behind the cage, and I said, "Hey, everyone. Who's this?" And I take a swing, hit a ground ball to the second baseman. And one of the scouts goes, he wouldn't do that. And I'm like, and I go back to hitting like myself. And it wasn't until like three years. Anyways, when I played with him, I said, do you remember that? No, I don't remember that, you know, in Ken's fashion. But yeah, that was a great experience. Very, very humbling experience for me, finally realizing, holy cow, these guys are on a different level. Icons.
Well, the only equivalent I could think of is me sitting at an anchor desk next to Bob Costas when I'm age 17 or 18.
Yeah.
I probably would have shat myself. I'm just saying.
You, there's cussing allowed on this. Is this, there's cussing allowed? Oh, really?
It's encouraged, actually. I probably would have shat myself. I'm just saying.
Wow. Yeah, Bob's an icon again. I mean, you know, I grew up watching NBA on NBC. So listening to him on baseball broadcasts and basketball. And so I can definitely see where, how you'd be so enamored. He's got a beautiful voice and cadence and everything.
I know. I'm just saying, I don't know how you got through that workout without peeing down your leg.
I told you. I basically did piss down my leg when I rolled over the ground ball. And then they made fun of me.
You're allowed to roll over occasionally. It happens in that sport.
Not in practice work.
Oh.
I could go all day not hitting a ground ball in practice work. I'm like Steph Curry shooting threes. Like I'll like barrel 99 out of 100. I'm not even, you're laughing, but they don't even put, no one's ever taken film. Like I could homer 90 out of 100. No problem.
Must be wonderful to be so good at that.
It is. There's not that many like me. It is great.
Oh, gosh. I know. Don't take offense to this. Did you play hockey as a kid? Because you're Canadian.
Road hockey. Ice hockey in Canada is very expensive, very time consuming.
Got it.
It was not in the cards for me. And I don't think I had the passion or interest to do it. And you have to start at 4, 5, 6 years old to be really good. Not saying that's a rule, hard and fast rule, but generally speaking, you know, Canadian hockey players are, you know, if they're a professional, or you have a good idea if they're a professional by the time they're 12 or 14. So it's, by the time I played more road hockey than baseball. I played more basketball than baseball. I probably played more tennis than baseball, but, I didn't strap on any skates. I didn't get into any, you know, on ice fights.
So what were you, a tennis player? Were you like a Mats Wilander, more of a Boris Becker power
Michael
player?
Chang. I was more of a Michael Chang. We're going to keep the rally going.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a good reference from the 90s, huh?
Yeah. Excellent. Very, very good. Yep. I think he won like the French Open at like age 18 or 16 or something crazy. You were a really good basketball player. I've talked to you about this before. I know you scored like almost 40 in a big game one time. You were a point guard?
I don't. I'm good at one thing in life, and that's giving interviews. Everything else falls by the wayside. I'm not a good basketball player. I can play okay. I'm okay.
So is that a lie on your Wikipedia page that you scored 37 in some big game?
No, I scored points. I definitely scored a lot of points, and you know, I averaged a good bit, but it doesn't matter because I stunk relative to Amir Garrett, who played Division I basketball. You know, like I don't like when people talk about their amateur baseball experience. You know, I was this, you know, I played college that. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me amateur stories.
You don't care that I hit 314 my last year of organized ball in eighth grade?
Right now, as I close my eyes, I'm thinking about you rounding the bases in San Francisco, San Fran.
Yes, it was. That's a great memory.
Yeah.
Waddle.
Waddle. Yeah. I've got a little waddle. You guys have shown me that.
Great.
Yeah.
Are you like me? You hate it when a company tries to sell you something. Well, how about a company that wants to buy from you? That's right. Give you money. That's what Greg Morris wants to do for old sports card collections. It's very simple. You're going to turn that old cardboard into cash. So what is Greg Morris buying? They're buying old baseball cards, old football cards, basketball, hockey, anything that predates 1980. The older it gets, the more cash it's worth. So to find out more, to sell Greg Morris your sports cards, go to gregmorriscards.com. You fill out the form there. Somebody's going to get back to you how that company can give you cash for your old sports cards. Go do it today. I know I got a bunch of old cards. I'm going to gregmorriscards.com. getting some cash. When you were on your home run streak this year, I don't care about the home runs. Great. Seven straight. People have gone eight. They've been better.
I told Don Mattingly the other day, had I gotten to eight, I was going to text him and Junior. I was going to text Don and Ken, like a little winky face. I'm coming to get you, you know, sort of thing. And I was going to pass them. Like, there's no doubt about it. I hit that ball super hard in New York, went off the top of the wall. No problem. No problem. But if I had gotten to seven or eight, there's no question about it. I have such a huge ego that for sure I would have wanted to own that record. So if I was there, no question about it, I would have gotten nine.
All right. So the home runs are one thing. The Jamie Tartt celebration was the minute you did that, I laughed my ass off. But he's not your favorite character on Ted Lasso, is he?
I love Jamie Tartt. The other day I was telling Dave Bell I was going to homer and give him the middle finger like the most recent episode, but I decided to not do it on a Major League Baseball field. Mm. And, you know, it's cool having t-shirts made of you and you know, having a lasting image, but it's probably one of those things that I care deeply about how kids take to it.
Yes.
The older community just people in general may react poorly to it. And that's not what I want to give them. So, but I was very tempted to do that. And I was in a kind of way in that game where I'm glad I didn't hit a home run, because I may have done something silly. I won't be doing that.
See, we're huge Ted Lasso fans in the Rose household. Unfortunately, I'm two episodes behind because I've been on this ridiculous road trip, and I love watching it with Michelle, my wife, and our youngest son, Brady, who's almost 16. So we watch it together. It's a little family thing.
Good.
But I think Roy Kent is probably one of the top five characters in scripted television right now, probably over the last 20 years. I laugh at everything he says. The episode where his niece's breath has a problem, and he goes up to her and goes, I think she's dying.
Yeah. I think you're suffering from some recency bias. There's like four characters on Seinfeld that are better than Roy Kent. So there's four of the five.
Name four characters better on Seinfeld than Roy Kent. And I love
all four: Costanza, Kramer, yeah. Elaine. Elaine's
she's genius.
There's three, and then I mean,
Jerry was the worst. He was the worst character of the four.
Oh my God,
he was. Jerry, he was the worst character of the four.
Not even close. He was the glue. He was the straight man. He was the. I couldn't agree less. The show doesn't happen without Jerry. There's no question about it. You can go without Kramer. Probably not Elaine. George was very, very important, but Jerry was the glue that held it all together, without question. You're going to get me to speak ill of Jerry Seinfeld?
I'm not asking you to speak ill of him. Tony Soprano was
a better character than Roy Kent. You know, it's a Ted Lasso's doing fine. They're doing fine, but you know,
you might be under the recency bias thing. And by the way, with Costanza, every time I pull an oven mitt out of the drawer to take something out of the oven, I walk around saying I'm a hand model, and my kids look at me like, "What are you talking about?"
Do you when you prep for bed, do you tell your wife you were in the pool? I was in the pool.
I do think one of her top five vocabulary words is shrinkage, but I'm not sure.
Of course, yeah. Like a frightened turtle. I watched Seinfeld a lot.
You want to find out what happened in the world of baseball last night or get you all set for the next day? Make sure you tune into Baseball Today. I'm joined each and every day by my man, Trevor Plouffe. We're talking about the hottest topics, the most controversial, the most fun stuff around, and only the way we can here on John Boy Media. So you join us each and every day. Download it wherever you get your podcast. It's also up on our YouTube channel each and every day. And if you want to join us for the live edition, we're on Instagram every day, either 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, or 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific. Keep tuning in to Baseball Today. I promise you'll be satisfied. Joey, this might be your first appearance on the Rose Rotation. Your name has been uttered by, I would say, more than anybody who hasn't appeared on this show, because it has been by co-hosts, by guests, because they love you, they adore you. One of my co-hosts is Miguel Rojas.
The amazing played him. I know. He's one of your co-hosts.
So here's the deal. Normally,
what kind of mom and pop shop are you running here? Get yourself a pro. He's busy working, dude.
You would be talking to, this is the beauty of the Rose Rotation. It's a half dozen active players as my rotating co-hosts.
Is this even going to be on the internet?
Of course it is. This is on John Boy Media. This is a big deal, man.
Who's John Boy?
Come on. Why are you doing this to me?
I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to build this up to an amazing moment with Miguel Rojas talking about you. So we're going to let Miguel do his thing here. Go.
I got to meet Joey over there, and he played. Actually, we played together in low A when he was rehabbing in one of the years. So sometimes I get to first base and Joey Bodies trying to speak straight Spanish with me, you know? Even if it's broken, he's trying to learn a new word. And I'm so entertained the whole time that I'm in first base. I don't want to leave because I want to keep talking to Joey.
Dude, entertained?
That's the story?
What? I thought it was great that you try to speak fluent Spanish to him and you want to learn. You're not enamored with that?
I'm not enamored with his story? Newsfest. Miguel? What a boring story, you know? I'm here to be entertained. You know, Miguel?
You are going to, you're going to make him cry the next time he's on the show. I'm taping an episode.
Llorar. No, I remember that. I'm just kidding, Miguel, of course. You know, it's funny. We had him as a Reds player. And now, it's so great, on a serious note, it's so great seeing young players. You watch them develop, and then they turn themselves into everyday major league players or stars. I'm so proud of him. There's several players. You know, we had Justin Turner, Didi mm-hmm. Gregorius. You know, I can keep Yasmani Grandal. It's one of my favorite things to watch guys get better in the league. And Miguel Rojas, most certainly. We played against him in Miami. And he looks fantastic. So I wish him luck. I wish him health. And I'm working on my Spanish. I'm working on it. I'm working on it pretty hard.
But everybody, you know, I've asked guys over the years, you know, to name me the top five most interesting guys at first base. And your name is always up there. Oh, it's you and Freeman. Same guys mentioned over and over. Do you feel like the welcoming committee over there?
No. No, I just let the player dictate what whether or not he wants to speak. You know, sometimes they're not in a good mood. Maybe they didn't get a bunt down, or maybe they were the back end of a double play, or maybe they got a hit and they didn't like it just because of their swing. But generally speaking, I try to let them open conversation. I'll give them a little glove tap on the side if they get a hit. And then if they want to open from there, you know, that's on them. Then we got action.
Who's the guy who you're like, I know he's going to come here with something good? Third guy?
You know, the other day I mentioned Miguel Cabrera, but we don't play him a lot. David Bote is really funny. Really funny. Oh. You know, Rizzo and I always have a conversation. Funny. I can't think of too many players. I'm sure when we finish this interview, I'll think of someone. But there's a lot of good personalities out there. But most guys are just concentrating on getting a good secondary and scoring from first, to be honest with you.
Got it. Okay, fair enough. Who is the holy shit, I cannot believe I made the major leagues moment for you? When you set foot on the field and you were like, I can't believe I'm doing the same thing as that guy.
So in 2008, we were in St. Louis at the very end of the season, Albert Pujols put together another amazing year. Tony La Russa is managing. Their roster is strong. I'm not sure if they were they went deep into the playoffs that year, but they were clearly an excellent team. So we're in St. Louis. Place is packed. And I've got big dreams. I've got big goals. I want to be among the best players in this game. I want to play for a long time. But I never once thought of myself as good as Albert Pujols. At the time, you know, he was on magazine covers. He was everywhere. And the language when people would speak about Albert was, is this the greatest player of all time? Is this the greatest start to a career of all time? So it's 2008, and it's September. We played against him a little bit. I got to watch him all year. He looked great all year. And at the very end of the year, second to last game, last game maybe, he hits a double down the left field line, a ground ball double. And I'm standing at first base, and Tony La Russa has the wherewithal to take him out of the game and give him his standing ovation from the fans to, you know, for them to have a mutual moment thanking him for his year and him thanking them for the support. So this, the fifth inning comes out, and they give him a standing ovation. And I remember standing up first, and the Cardinals dugout would be to my left, and all of the players were standing applauding. All the fans were standing applauding. Again, an ocean of fans. And I look up, and Albert's, you know, doffing. No, not doffing. He's tipping his cap to the fans. And I look up, and I see his statistics, and they're like 356, 39, you know, 356, 36, and 100 and whatever the heck. And I just remember thinking to myself, wow, I am in the major leagues right now. This is the show. And there are moments here and there, but that was the one moment where I was like, I am witnessing one of the greatest players of all time in his prime, and I'm a spectator. And that's what I want to be. You know, I want to be Albert Pujols. I want to play at that level, but I'm witnessing it firsthand. And the thing about ball, playing at this level, your moments are so quick. They're so quick. Most baseball moments are pictures. And the crowd applause diffused. He went back in the dugout, put his helmet away, changed, and got ready to go home, probably for the trip to whatever playoff city they were going to. But that was the most memorable picture that I took in my career of an opposing player. And Albert is iconic. He's been steady for 20 years, and he's done more than anyone would have ever expected, but I got to see him in his prime, and I got to witness a great moment. So that was my welcome to the major leagues moment. You know, I hit home runs, got my first hit, had a good first season, but that was the moment where I was like, this is different. This is special. I can see Lou Gehrig. I can see Ted Williams. I can see Joe DiMaggio. I can see Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle when he stands there. I'm witnessing greatness. I'm witnessing stories. 150 years this sport's been around, and there's only so many of those guys, and I'm witnessing one of them. So that was that.
That's pretty damn cool, dude. Well said. We only got a couple more, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Your first hit was also your first homer. And I know that, you know, you've had a lot of milestones this year, and you told the great story about giving your first hit to Maris and your late dog and all that sort of stuff. But look at the Joey Votto video off of John Maine. Oh, soak it in, my man.
That ball's really well hit. You know, I don't think I haven't hit a ball like that in a bit. You know, I'll tell you a few observations from that. First of all, the way I run, I've completely overhauled the way I run. I run like a major leaguer. You know, I caught a lot of flack from guys telling me that I don't have a good trot. The other thing I noticed, I have hair. You know, I have hair. And that was a great moment. That was a really great moment. And it's been great since.
Oh man, that was cool. Really cool. The last thing I want to hit on, we kind of talked about it at the beginning. Are you allowing yourself to take those snapshots? You're turning 38 in a couple of weeks here. And you're healthy, which is great. You want to keep playing, which is awesome. But I always wonder if guys don't appreciate it until they're out of the game. Are you allowing yourself those moments? You had that beautiful exchange with that little Abigail girl in San Diego. I'm sure there's been amazing moments during your seven straight games with a homer. Are you taking those snapshots?
You know, forgive me, F1 fans or NASCAR fans, but I would imagine it's a lot like driving and racing. You know, if you look to your sides and take in, oh, I'm racing against Mario Andretti or Lewis Hamilton, or look at all the fans in the stands, or it's a beautiful day, or I can't believe, you take your eyes off the track. You take your eyes off competition. It's really, really difficult to take snapshots. I think often about playing well. I think often about steadiness. I think often about, you know, answering my responsibilities as a player, as a teammate. I have my moments where I do take snapshots, but probably not as much as you would hope. The other thing too, I'd like to keep playing. I'd like to keep playing well. You know, I felt like I found something last year that gives me a chance at performing well for a long time. You know, I mentioned recently that it sounded like I said hitting is easy again. That wasn't my intent. It, relative to before, there's more of an ease to it. And that's for, if I'm healthy, that ease is repeatable. That ease is repeatable. And, you know, I don't think I've got the Ichiro or Tom Brady streak in me that wants to play till they're 45 or 50. But, you know, if this CBA goes well and all of a sudden they have a veteran's exception at $50 million, then I'll keep rolling. You know, with the over 40 crowd, it gets the veteran exception at 50. But I don't know. I take it day by day. I just want to perform well against John Lester tonight.
Good enough. We do this with every guest on the show. It's our little game show. We spin the wheel of moderately interesting things that has several different categories on it.
You'll answer. Ooh, sounds interesting.
It's moderately interesting, Joe. Let's see what we got.
Who's spinning that?
That would be my hand. I taped it before I left for Vegas. The category is tripping. All right. Once we feel better about traveling the globe, I don't know where you are in your headspace on that. Where would you like to go next?
I actually think I might go watch Ronaldo play in Man U and go watch Messi play at Paris Saint-Germain in Paris. But I'd like to head over to London, maybe watch. A couple matches, taken two world icons before they retire. And yeah.
It's a great one. Would you wear a jersey over there? Would you wear a jersey?
A kit. It's called a kit.
Sorry.
And it's okay. You're not worldly. I'm international. I'm from Canada. I speak three languages. But would I wear a jersey? No, I wouldn't wear a jersey. I'd wear a kit.
Thank you. I want to thank you for two things and just humor me for
90
seconds.
You're welcome.
I had a blast hanging out with you today. And I've told this story before about how the last few days of intentional talk, Butch called into the network and said, hey, Joey wants to come on one of Rose's last shows. And you ended up being the last guest. And I cannot tell you how much it meant to me personally. You know, it crushed me when they made the decision they did. For financial reasons, to not continue the partnership. We had a wonderful talk, and that you could see through the TV how much Kevin's relationship means to me. And you talked about that. And it's something I will cherish forever. And so I just, at a time where we have to say thank you to people, I want to thank you for showing your humanity and your grace toward me, because during a very, very difficult time in my professional career, that made it easier. So I want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome. And now you're on John Boy Media, you know? So you're good.
I am. I'm in a great place, dude. I am, but I'm not, I've never run from this. It was really hard. There were a lot of tears shed and it hurt.
Good.
But you, guys like you made it easier. So I do want to thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Yep. How is John doing?
John?
Yeah, John Boy.
Oh, John. Media. John Boy pulled his hammy last week while being a sausage in the sausage race.
Oh, really? Was he trying to run the bases?
No. He was pulling the... That was like a shot. Shots fired. He was one of the sausages. He and Plouffe.
Oh, I'm in Milwaukee.
Yeah, didn't you see that?
No, I don't watch John Boy Media.
We're gonna sign you to a big deal one day.
I'm reading newspapers and yeah, I subscribe to Scientific American. I'm an adult.
You are one of a kind. That's all I can say.
I'm really glad to talk to you. We'll have to do this again.
I loved it, Your Highness.
Exactly. All right.
Keep doing your thing. Please. We'll watch Seinfeld and Ted Lasso together. It'll be great.
Take care. Thanks so much. Thanks for the thank you also.
I appreciate it. And it was great seeing you. It was great seeing everybody, all the good fans here of the Rose Rotation. We'll see you next time. It's a production of John Boy Media. Not John Boy, but John Boy.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.